Praise the Lord. Greetings to all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning for Sunday service. And today I have the privilege of saying a youth message. So let's just jump right into it because the message has already been prayed over. And for today's meditation, I would like to look at Matthew chapter 10, specifically Matthew chapter 10, verses 28. But before we go there, let's just quickly look at chapter 10. And just see what's happening here, what's the context. So from my ESV version, which I'm reading from currently, the chapter is titled The 12 Apostles. In the NIV version, I read that it's titled Jesus Sends Out the 12. So what's happening here? So we see that Jesus calls the 12 disciples towards him, right? And he, you know, gives them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every single disease. You know, the one thing that I saw when I was looking at the disciples was that it's kind of a diverse selection. They come from different backgrounds. Some are similar, but they come from different backgrounds. But there's one thing that they all, you know, have in common. If you think about the disciples, none of them really come from a noble background or a very prestigious background, and they all seem to have their own types of weaknesses. That is the thing that they share in common, all these disciples. What we see is that God calls the 12 disciples, right? He calls them and he gives them power to do all these things which he's going to ask them to do. And as we read further, we can see that the disciples are called and sent out to, you know, the lost sheep of Israel. And these people are the Jews. You know, right now, Jesus specifically says, you know, not to the Gentiles, you know, don't go to the Samaritans, but, you know, specifically the lost sheep of Israel, and preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, we can see that specifically in verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus tells them to do something when they're there, right? He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And, you know, after that, Jesus also, you know, warns them and tells them the specific things they can expect, what to do. But let's jump to verse 28, the main focus of today. And verse 28 reads, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Before we specifically dive into this verse, let's look at some verses before it to see what Jesus is telling the disciples. And that brings me to the title of my message, Fear No Man. But Jesus also speaks about other things that the disciples shouldn't worry about in this same chapter. So let's just check that out. We can see the first thing that the disciples shouldn't worry about in verse 9. I'll read it. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. Verse 10. No bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is telling the disciples, do not worry about your personal needs. Don't worry about, you know, food or shelter. Rather, he's trying to teach the disciples to trust in God for these certain needs here and there. To fully trust that he will provide, even though they're not carrying these things with them. And then let's look to the second thing that Jesus tells his disciples not to worry about. He tells them not to worry about persecution. He, you know, basically tells them that, you know, persecution is going to come. He basically gives them a heads up. When it happens, don't get caught off guard, because this is what happens when you follow me. He even says, you know, later on, you know, I'm the master. They call me Beelzebub. They call me the prince of demons. How worse are you guys going to be treated, right? The third thing he says is, do not fear when it comes to your calling. Don't fear when you feel unprepared or unequipped. We see this specifically in verse 19. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus teaches them here that the Holy Spirit will teach them in the right moment what to say. You know, when they're faced in front of these people, in front of prestigious people, when they feel unprepared, when they feel unequipped, You know, Jesus says that the Spirit will work right there. And the disciples, you know, they trust that even in their unpreparedness and weaknesses, through the work of the Spirit, the words will come. 4, Jesus tells them not to fear when it comes to losing their life. And that brings us to verse 28. So I'll read it once again. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus says, don't worry about those who can harm you, because I'm in control. I care for the sparrows. You know, those very small birds, you know, I watch over them. I don't let them fall. In the same way, how much more greater are you than those sparrows? I care for you. I'm in control. You know, you don't even know this, but I know how many hairs are on your head. You know, I'm in control. Trust in me. Don't worry about these people who might persecute you or might hurt you, because you are so much more valuable and I'm watching over you. So then you might ask me, Joshua, you basically said all these things. We shouldn't fear, you know, man. We shouldn't fear when we're unprepared. We shouldn't fear about our needs. Are we supposed to fear anything? Well, there's one person that we have to fear, and that is God. You know, brother and sister, we must fear God. And we live in a time where we don't understand what fearing God really is. You know, in philosophy, there's something called the golden mean. And the golden mean, there's two extreme ends. So I'm going to apply fear to the golden mean. You know, being too fearful is cowardice. Being not fearful at all, that's recklessness. And right in the middle, there's a sweet spot, the golden mean, and that's courage. Brothers and sisters, we need the courage. We cannot be reckless. We also cannot cower in fear when faced with these, you know, things that Jesus warns us about. At the same time, we must also fear the Lord our God. Jesus calls us in this chapter. He even reminds us that we must take up our cross. But we'll get into that. We'll, you know, dig deeper and see what that means. But now that we've gone through all of this, let's just reflect back on what I've said, and let's try to apply it to our lives and, you know, mirror the disciples' lives with our lives and see how that works out. So let's go back to the beginning. And I'm going to ask a couple of questions and just answer them with me, reflect upon it, and let's think about it. Do we really have anything to fear? Let's see. So if we go back to what I said about the disciples, let's think back to the disciples. We know that they don't come from a noble background or a very prestigious background. They have their weaknesses, their shortcomings. Can we say that we are in the same boat as the disciples? Yeah, we don't come from a very noble background or, sorry, a very prestigious background. We are nobles. We aren't, you know, we have our weaknesses. We fall short often. So in that case, we can be put in the same boat as the disciples. We do have weaknesses. Just as they had weaknesses, we also have weaknesses. Another thing to think about is, do we fear when it comes to our personal needs? And just as Jesus tells his disciples not to worry, to trust in him, to trust that God will provide in all these things, God also tells us to trust in him. You know, I'm not saying that we should just stay at home and slack off and do nothing. No. You know, we can't just sit at home, sit on the couch, or just play games all day and be like, God, I need my shawarma wrap, I need my Big Mac, I need my junior chicken. No, that's not how it works out. And even Jesus clarifies that we need to work both spiritually and physically. We see that in verse 10. It says here, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. I was reading a commentary, and it said, you know, the idea that Jesus was specifically saying here was that as you look for a house, as you're invited into a house, you know, they might be working in the farm, on the fields. You should also go work with them, you know. And while you're working with them, working on the farm, then you have an opportunity to do the spiritual work also and tell them the message of the kingdom. So don't worry about your needs. We still got to work. Second thing, don't worry about your weaknesses. And we know that specifically as we went over this verse, you know, how many times I felt unprepared, how many times I felt unequipped. But we know that God equips the call, just like how he equipped the disciples, those who were unequipped, those who were unprepared. Next, don't fear persecutions. Just how Jesus warns his disciples about persecutions to come, we also need to know that in our Christian lives, we will face persecutions. You know, this road is not easy. There will be people who hate us. So that is something that we shouldn't fear. We should be mindful of those things. Next, just how Jesus says to his disciples, do not fear if people harm your body. In the same way, we have to apply it to our lives too. You know, because Jesus says, if you endure to the end, you will be saved. And you know, Paul also says, you know, if I live, I can continue spreading this gospel message. If I die, I get to go to heaven. And you know, we have that eternal mindset. So to whether we live or die, it's all gain. Jesus also mentions in this chapter about bearing your cross and following him. You know, he says in verse 38, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. When Jesus spoke about the cross there in this chapter, when he's speaking to his disciples, they knew what that meant. They knew that whoever picks up a cross is going to die on that cross. So there's something very serious about that. That we are all called to pick up a cross. We're all called to bear our cross. And if we do not bear our cross, Jesus says, you are not worthy of me. So all the more, we shouldn't be worried about our flesh and being harmed in that way. But above all, we have to fear God. Fear God who's able to take both our body and our soul. Fear God. It's not fear the devil, because we know we're not supposed to fear the devil. It's fear God. You know, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what is the takeaway from today? How many of us are stuck in fear? Because based on what Matthew 10 says, there is nothing to fear but God. You know, if there is nothing to fear but God, think about how much things can be done for the kingdom. I just look back on my life and see how many times where I've backed away because of fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of not being equipped, fear about, you know, not being sure about the calling. How many times have I stepped back? Think about the impact if we didn't fear these things, but we feared God who's in heaven. You know, we need to really pray to God for faith. You know, faith where God tells us to do something and we fully trust in him and we do it. I am just so amazed. Sometimes I think about Abraham, where God told him to go to a place and he didn't even know where he was going. He just went. Think about how crazy that is. And before I end off my message today, I would like to close off with a prayer. So let's all bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. You are the King who is seated on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You are the Lord of all. You are in control. Father, thank you for such an opportunity to know who you are. Thank you for such an opportunity to come before you, Lord Jesus, and worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word you have said to us today, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, places where we have stepped back, Lord, where we've been fearful, Lord God, where we feared things apart from you, Lord Jesus, Lord God. Help us to no longer fear these things of this world where you have told us not to fear, but help us to fear you, Lord God, to reach a deeper understanding of fearing you and actually live that out in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to have the same faith as Abraham, Lord Jesus, Lord God, to trust in you, Lord God, to trust in you fully, Lord God, to know, to not be a coward when it comes to the things of this world, Lord Jesus, and to not be reckless, Lord God, but with courage, Lord, take up our cross and follow you. Thank you once again for such an opportunity, Lord God. You take all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.